This is the day the Lord has made. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Amen. I'm delighted to be in the house of the Lord. And God has some very, very special things for us today. Amen. I'd like, today's going to be a family Sunday. So please, parents, make sure that you take care of your children. It's very, very important even when we're having prayer here, know where your children are. Amen. It is a good thing when we take care of our children so that they are not moving up and about everywhere. And then when it is time for prayer, it's a time of worship, we don't want any distraction when we are worshiping the Lord. Amen? So please, let's, parents, you still love me? Amen? Let's take care of those children, and the Lord is going to bless us. Amen? Before us here, we have some emblems. Every Family Sunday this year, we shall be partaking of the table of the Lord. And so you can come prepared every Family Sunday at the end of the month. We will be partaking of of this ordinance that the Lord told us to be reminding, to be doing it as frequently as we could in honor of his name. Praise the Lord. And I remember many, many years, you know, when God saw the cry of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, he called Moses to come and he called on Moses to come and deliver them from the land of captivity into a promised land. And I know most of you know the story, how the story went, you know, when Moses was sent out, prepared enough by the Lord, you know, to go and deliver the children of Israel. He went to the land of Egypt, whereby God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And it was not until there were about 10 plagues that Pharaoh had to release the people of God. And when he released them, the children of Israel, even to this day, they celebrate Passover. Now, what happened when the angel of death, during the 10th plague, most of you can remember, the Lord instructed the children of Israel to have a lamb of sacrifice slaughtered, and then they would smear blood on their doorpost. And at that 10th plague, what happened was, when the angel of death came, he was targeting the sons of the Egyptians. And so all the sons, the firstborns of the Egyptians were killed at that particular day. But the angel of death passed over, praise the Lord. He passed over the homes of the Israelites. And since from that day, that was, you know, on the 10th plague, the heart of Pharaoh was softened, and he released the children of Israel to go into the land that the Lord had promised them. And so time immemorial, since that time, the children of Israel have been celebrating Passover. And normally it's in the month of Nisan, which to us is between the month of March and April, and that's why we have Easter. You know, they celebrate the celebrations of Passover. And so during the death of Jesus, as Jesus is going to the cross, it was almost at the same time when they were celebrating Passover. And so, actually, this is part of my message today. And so they are sent into an upper room with his disciples. But instead of celebrating what was supposed to be a Passover, it was a celebration of an establishment of a new covenant. Praise the Lord. The shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, the crushing of his body to the cross. A new covenant was established whereby anybody who comes to the Lord is accepted as a son in the kingdom of God. And so when the Lord performs this ordinance with his disciples in the upper room, he says, do this as often as you might in remembrance of what I did for you. Praise the Lord. Were it not for the Lord, we would not be here. Why not for the Lord, we would be very, very separated from the love of God. But just because of his death on the cross of Calvary, just because of his shedding of blood, there is remission of sin. Praise the Lord. And so anybody who have accepted the Lord and Savior as Savior can come boldly into his presence, and he can be accepted in his beloved. And so this morning, what we want to do, we have a cup with a juice on it, and then we have a piece of bread. And so the bread represents the body that was crushed on the cross of Calvary. The juice inside the cup represents the blood that oozed out of the body of Christ, the blood that was shed for the remission of sins, my sins and your sins, that now boldly we can come into the presence of God. And Jesus said, this is very, very essential. Do this as often as you might in remembrance of that particular day. Amen. So Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he cautions them of partaking of the table of the Lord in an unworthy way. You know, this is very, very significant. It's not just a piece of bread. You know, you can walk into any store, like in the family stores, and you can buy this. But when we partake of this, it has greater significance in that it represents the crushing, the beaten body of our Christ that was given for our sake, and the shedding of his blood. So we need to take it in an awesome way, in a way that would not betray the process of the cross. And so Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says, anybody who partakes of these ordinances ought to examine in themselves. Make sure that you partake of it when you're right with God. Amen? And so when we partake of it, it is necessary for every believer to re-examine themselves, to ask God to cleanse them and to purify them. And if there's anybody that you've not forgiven, to ask the Lord to help you so that you can forgive them. If you're not born again, you don't qualify to take of these emblems, because these emblems represents, if you know, for you to be a partaker, you should have taken in the Lord as your personal Savior. Praise the Lord. And so I'm just going to call Brother Israel again here to the keyboard, and Nathan. And as we sing this song, I would like us to re-examine ourselves. You know, examine yourself. Normally what I do is I ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Remind me of something that I did that I can't even remember this time, because I want to be pure even as I take these emblems. You know, I know that we are the righteousness of Christ. We've been given the power to become sons of God. But how many of you know that sometimes we come and maybe you said a word that was unfavorable to somebody. At that point, that's when you ask the Lord, Lord, scan through my life. And Lord, I repent if there is anything that would obstruct the process or be an impediment to the process of the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I want us to sing this song that says there is power in the blood of Jesus. And as we say this, I would like everybody to close their eyes, and I would like you to focus unto the Lord right now as you ask the Lord to prepare you, even as we partake of these emblems this morning. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord. There is power, power, wonder in the precious blood. Oh, there is victory, victory, wonder working victory in the blood of the Lord. There is victory, victory, wonder working in the precious blood. Oh, there is deliverance, deliverance, wonder working deliverance in the blood. Oh, in the blood of the Lord. There is deliverance, deliverance, wonder-working deliverance in the precious blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, 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 the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes us. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood.
There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power mighty in the blood. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we give you the glory and the honor. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to call upon Pastor Chilodika to come and give thanks for the cup. And after we do that, I'm going to call Pastor Francis to come and give thanks, even for the bread. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Sparing him. We thank you that you gave him as a ransom. Or even knowing what he was going to go through, but you let him come. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that he shed on that cross of Calvary. The blood, Lord, that speaks better things for us. The blood, oh God, that made us to be forgiven of our sins. We thank you and we give you the praise. And Lord, even as we partake of this emblem today, we are praying, help us to remember what Jesus did for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you.
Jehovah God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord, even for sending Jesus, knowing what he was supposed to come and do in this world. Jesus Christ, you allowed your creation, the people that you created with your own hands, to nail you on the cross, flog you all, dear Lord, 39 strokes on your back, that we may be healed. We worship you, dear Lord, for what you did unto Calvary. Why not for what you did today, dear Lord? Will be people that will be perished, King of Glory. The devil will be shining up there, knowing that he's a conqueror. But today you conquered death, oh Lord, because you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose from the dead. Today we are free. Today we are free. Today we are walking shoulder high, knowing that you liveth forever. Knowing, Lord Jesus, that where you are today, we'll be seated with you all the rest of our days. We worship you, Jehovah God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for good job that you did there unto Calvary. Were it not for you, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord, we can't make it. We couldn't make it, but we are doing it now. We overcome him, my God. We overcome us, Lord, because you did it unto Calvary. We worship you. We exalt you. We magnify you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to ask this man of God to pass this emblems to you. Once you get the cup has the bread, and it has it is attached to the juice. I believe it's grape juice. Just hold it until everybody is served, and then we are going to partake the bread together. And after we partake the bread together, we are going to come, and then we shall partake of the, you know, the representation of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Israel.
Thank you for the cross,
The Bible says in the book of Luke 22, verse number 19, and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So what we're going to do is you're going to peel that cup. Make sure you get the bread. And we're going to partake it together. Okay? Let us do it right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, for which is shed for you. So, and he gave thanks also for the cup. And so we are going to partake together. This cup that represents the shedding blood of Jesus Christ, through which our sins have been forgiven. Let us all take together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And you can pass those cups, you know, to the aisle, and somebody's going to come and collect them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you open up your mouth and just thank God for the blood this day? Thank God. Thank God for the privilege that he has given you to become a son and a daughter of the kingdom. Father, we thank you. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We deserve to die. You never did, Lord. But you did it on our behalf. And you give us access to our Father. And through your death, Lord, the curtain of the temple split into two, giving access to any whosoever believes in you, so that he or she is called the son of God, would gain access to the place called the Holy of Holies, and that we would call you Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. We worship you and we honor you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it, amen. Amen. Can you give Jesus a hand of praise? I feel like we need to do one African song. I don't know. I just feel. You feel like that too? Why don't you stand on your feet? You know this song that says "Ekile kile ah Zambia moyo." You know how to sing it? They say "Ekile kile ah Zambia moyo." You know that? Why are you still seated? I told you to stand on your feet. Aya.
Nitamwimbia Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Nitamwimbia Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Kweli nitamchezea Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
How we used to sing that song, surely. You remember how we used to clap our hands and dance? Or we are still corroborating? It will come, eh? Okay. Bring it a little bit low. Nita. What key was that? give me
Give me one, Lord.
Nitamwimbia Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Nitamwimbia Bwana.
Clap your hands.
Kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Jamani, nitamwimbia Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Somebody tell them, why not? We can dance in the house of our Father. Amen, 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 amen. I'm really, really excited and ready for this morning. First of all, I just want to thank God for the opportunity that he has afforded us to come into the house of the Lord. Secondly, I am really, really honored to have the men of God who have come to stood on this pulpit to bring a powerful word of the Lord. Amen. And I feel like I want to build on what, you know, especially Pastor Chilundika started with, you know, about servanthood and about humility. You know, the most interesting thing is, even before I had requested him to come and share, I didn't even know what he was. Actually, I think I told him to share something different, but he felt the Spirit of God leading him to share on this subject. The Lord had already started stirring something in my heart concerning the same. Praise the Lord. And I just feel like I want to build on it, and it's going to be good. This last week, we took some time off with my wife, and we attended a pastor's conference organized by the Potter's House, and it was really, really good. What picture is that, by the way? What picture is that? Oh, praise. In Kenya. Thank you. You are in the spirit, my sister, because I want to talk about that. Praise the Lord. So we had this wonderful opportunity. There were about 20,000 pastors coming from different parts of the world. And they congregated at, Dallas Convention Center.
And we had a powerful, powerful outpouring, power of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, church, I'm energized. I feel equipped. I feel, you know, re-energized to serve the Lord and to dedicate my life completely to just serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I just pray that, you know, we will catch up with the spirit that I feel that is moving in this house. The spirit that God is pouring among us just to just completely yield ourselves to serve him. Amen. The times in which we are living are perilous times. The times that we are living, they're end time times. This, we are living in the end times whereby the Bible says that in the last days, people would just assume a form of godliness and deny the power of God thereof. I pray and declare that none of those shall be found to happen in our church. That we shall be men and women who assume the power. That we shall be carriers of God, that whenever we go, we will be able to declare the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. That in our offices, men and women will know that, you know what? This office or this company exists because I am here as a child of God. Oh God, I feel such a power to know my position in the Lord has not been compromised. And that when Jesus went he died, he went into hell to deliver and to set the captives free. When he came up there, he came and delivered a key to me to unlock things that are supposed to be unlocked. Church, let me tell you, the times when we walked like rained on chicken. Have you ever seen a rained on chicken? Especially when it was cold. That chicken would go like this and it would gather itself and you would really know that chicken has been rained on. But when the feathers are browsing and it's sunny, that chicken is going and it is, you know, scratching on, and you can see the vibrance in that chicken. Praise the Lord. So I want us to walk tall as men and women that God has significantly deposited some essential stuff in our lives. Praise be to God. Oh, glory be to Jesus. I know I don't have much time, but I know God is going to bless us this day. Amen. Praise be to God. I want to share with us from the book of Luke chapter 22. That is where we shared. And I have the message that I call the privilege of service. Somebody say the privilege of service. Oh, come on, say it if you believe it. The privilege of service. I didn't hear you. And then I've put an addendum there that I call the upper room experience. Praise be to God. Some of us who are older, you know, we experience, you know, the movement, the full gospel movement. And I know some of you can identify with what I'm saying. We saw in the late 70s, you know, in the early, you know, I would say maybe in the mid 70s, late 70s. That is the time that my mother gave. I know some of you are smiling. I know you are not born. And that's why I'm saying this for some of us who are a little bit older. We were able to experience a movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ like I've never seen even in our present day today. I remember the days when my mother surrendered her life to the Lord. There were a bunch of women who would come to our house and they would go into a cave like and they would cry and call upon the name of the Lord. And it was awesome. I mean, you'd attend any service. And the time when I came to realize what was happening, my mother would draw us into the church and we would experience such an outpouring move of the Spirit of God. I remember even way before I was even born again, we would wake up in the morning and we had this thing whereby we would wake up, prepare ourselves. You know, the kids would hover around, prepare themselves. And actually, we were Catholics even at that time. And we'd walk. We didn't even have a car. We would walk about 7 to 10 kilometers to where the church was. And we used to wake up very early. Praise be to God. How many of you remember that you had to walk so many miles to a place, you know, to church? And you better also remember that you may not also have had shoes on your feet. And you'd walk, you'd wash the clothes that you had. All you needed was the presence of God. And people would be hungry. People would, without even deodorant, you'd even smell an awful smell in the church. But all they did would lift up their hands and worship God unreservedly. And the pastor would come and he would preach the gospel and you'd sense the power. Are you with me? I remember those days. And we would go to these crusades and man, people would come and people would, many people would gather from left and left from their homes. They would come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and you would feel the presence of God. Now I'm talking about those people who are a little bit older. You can remember those movements. And in those days also when I remember, back in our country, Pastor, I never used to hear of many bishops. Actually, I think the only person that I heard of was Bishop Manasseh Scuria. I think that was the only bishop that I knew. If you had a man called a bishop, he was really a bishop. And he would be really respected. But what is happening today? I think every church in Africa has a bishop. Regardless of what they do, regardless of their affiliations, everybody wants to assume a title. Ooh, Jesus. Something has changed. And for us, we are a little bit privileged, for us who have experienced this dichotomy whereby the church has so much moved from where it was to a present whereby anybody, we can shout, but we are not ready to serve. Right now, you talk to anybody anyhow, you better choose your words, because when you talk to them anyhow, they can move and get out of the church. Are you listening to me? Have you seen some kind of an attitude? You talk to a brother and all of a sudden you wonder even whether you're talking to a brother, because they have assumed this kind of I don't care attitude. You share with them your problem and you think they're going to pray for you and they end up not praying for you. And now you have to be very, very careful who you have to talk to, because you never know how that information is going to be disseminated to other people. Oh, glory to Jesus. But for those who have been born in this culture, the only thing they might have known is this form of a church whereby, and when I'm talking about our church, I'm not talking about Empowerment Christian Center. I'm talking about the church in general. I was so amazed when every pastor, there was some series, you talk to pastors and the same things that are happening in every single church. People have assumed a don't care attitude. They can do whatever they want to do in the church. They have assumed a don't care attitude. But let me remind you, church, it is still the church of Jesus Christ. It is still the blood-bought church. Oh, God. The people who come to this house have been purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. And God has called us to be a body of Christ whereby if you're a hand, you might be an eye, you might be a leg, you might be an internal organ. We are all the same and valuable before the face of the Lord. Church, you better listen to me now. I may not even have time to dissect what is in my spirit right now. Hallelujah. But for those who have come and have been born into this era of the church whereby they have seen, the only thing they know is people assuming a form of godliness denying the power thereof. The only resource we can go to, it is in the Word of God, and we can see how the disciples and the church of early used to do it. For us who have been in those times, we can say, oh, something is wrong with me. I no longer attend. I used to go to caves and cry out to God 5 days in a week. I no longer do that. So I can refer to what I used to do and what I'm not doing, and that can be a point of reference to help me achieve it alongside the Word of the Lord. But for people who have been born in this era, they need fathers, they need mothers who can urge them to fulfill the mission of Christ. Are you with me? The church presently needs some mothers, it needs some fathers who can urge the present church to do the work of the ministry. Let me tell you, today, people are fighting for positions. People want to be called apostles. People want to be called the most reverend. People want to be called bishops. They want to be called. Let me tell you, may the Lord please, I pray to the Lord that by you calling me a pastor, that I would take the title of a pastor and feel like I'm more important than any one of you. May God forbid that you will call me a servant of God And that just by the term mentioned that by that term I will feel elevated than what I ought to. Because in reality, there's no difference between any one of us. We have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. If God has called you to do a specific task and you adjudicate it and you do it perfectly, and when God has called me to do a certain to carry a certain responsibility and I carry it responsibly, we shall receive one wage. Are you listening to me? Oh God. Some of you can remember, we used to be in a church when we came to America, just a few years when we came to America. And we were involved in the formation of a church. And I remember there was a man there. I don't know whether he's still in America today. But when we were meeting, we used to meet. And some of you, you know, when we meet, we don't know whether you are a pastor, or you are an apostle, or you are maybe a deacon or whoever you are. And all I know is that you're born again. And so we will call this man brother so-and-so. And this man was so mad. He said, "Why are you calling me brother? I'm not a brother. I'm a pastor. You need to address me as pastor so-and-so." And I really got scared. Remember that, Julius? And this man, you'd look at him. He looked very holy, and everything about him looked like, you know, he had it together. But no one, he didn't want to be called a brother. Let me tell you, church, call me brother. Call me even my name. Don't even put a brother there. I'm okay with it. Call me Tony. I will live with that. But when I know what is inside of me, when I know what God has done for me, may God forbid that when you call me a pastor, that I will think I'm so elevated and I cannot stoop low even to serve you as the children of God. May the Lord help us so that when we are called these names, and when these names come up, we do not feel ourselves as better as we ought to, for it is in a dangerous position. The Bible says that humble yourselves, and in due time, or in other words, when the time is right, the Lord will come and elevate you. He says, humble yourselves unto the Lord, and when the time is right. In other words, when you humble yourselves, you might continue. You may have humbled yourselves the first year. You're still humbling yourself. You may have humbled yourself for this long. But when the time is right, oh, somebody hear me. When the time is right, the Lord will definitely put a spot on you. See, the dangerous thing, the most dangerous thing that you can ever have in your life, it is to pursue a position of power. Because as you may not understand right now, there are people that you're dealing in your life that you'd want removed from your life. They are haters in every person. You can tell me. If you can open up your heart, you can tell me somebody that you know who you know that hates you. Somebody who doesn't celebrate you. It might be at your place of work, who doesn't really celebrate you. We were talking yesterday we had a meeting somewhere, and somebody was saying of this person, when he brought up his truck, this guy out of it, just look at you and just they hate you. Out of nowhere. Let me tell you, 90% of the people you think celebrate you, they don't. If you are to peel their lives completely, you will realize that you have very few friends. You will realize that very few people can celebrate you. Praise be to God. And it is very, very important for us to understand that as men and women pursue positions of power, there are some who pursue positions of power just because they want to have the spotlight on them. But how many of you know that when God is ready to use you, he does, you don't, let me tell you guys, when God is getting ready to feature you, you can be in the most remotest part of Africa, but God's eye, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord, oh shallah, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the face of the earth, looking for somebody who is strong enough that he may use them. Glory be to Jesus. I wish somebody can know that it is by the grace of Jesus Christ that we have been saved. That if anything, nothing happens to my life, that it is okay for me to stand and worship God because of what he has done for me. And Jesus giving this parable, you remember this parable that Jesus gives about a Pharisee and a Republican? And the Pharisee comes into a place of prayer, and he stands before the Lord and he says, "Oh Lord, you know I fast 5 days a week. I even give my offerings. I give my tithes. Oh Lord, you can see I even have a collar." And this guy comes. He is a sinner. And he is actually even scared to approach the throne of God. He is actually afraid, even scared to get close to the temple. He comes and as he gets into the church, he comes into this door. And when he comes in, he is worried. He doesn't even want to approach the altar. He comes in and says, I cannot even look into the face of the altar because it is awesome. I'm a sinner. I know it is by the grace of God that I'm saved. Let me tell you, God is looking for such people. And let me tell you, church, if we are not careful, some of us would have to be removed from this place and some people would have to come and take over from us. Because God is looking for somebody in Turukanas. God is looking for somebody in some remote area. Somebody who has never even been featured so that they can, somebody who is willing and has already a heart that is ready to serve the Lord. Are you listening to me? So it is not how I talk. I may come here and I can talk nicely and you can say, oh, that is Pastor Tony. You know, oh, this is so and so. But deep inside, I don't even have any ounce of humility. Praise the Lord. Oh, I know. I know you're not going to say amen. That's okay. I was expecting that. Actually, I don't expect anybody to say amen. Just listen. Don't even say amen. Soak it in. And so, we are confronted with a text here in Luke chapter 22 when Jesus Christ is just about to give his life. He's just about to come out of this earth. And he has done his ministry for 3 years. How many disciples did Jesus had? He had 12 disciples. Okay? And Jesus, throughout this ministry, as he chose them, he is working with this man. And he wants to teach them the most significant lesson he can ever teach somebody even before you depart. I wonder how many of you if you know that you're going to die today, what are the things that you are going to do? I've had, you know, I've read, you know, some articles from prisoners who are just about to be executed. Some of them ask a very nice meal, their favorite, that is put on their table. What would you request on your deathbed? Mostly, when you're just about to disconnect or to disembark, you want to do the most important thing that you can ever do in your life, right? Probably for me, maybe I'll call my wife and I will just be with her and I'll talk to my children and I'll just bless her. And maybe I'll read my favorite Bible and I'll go into communion with my God. But for Jesus, when he knew that it was time for him to come out of this world, he knew that the only problem that would impede the church from developing, from growing, was one thing, and that was humility. Somebody say humility. And he knew that in order for the church to grow, that they needed to completely understand the concept of servanthood. And so Jesus sends John and Peter and tells them, you go out and you'll find somebody out there with some water and he will give you a room in the upper room. Tell them the master that the master needs it. And so, cut a long story short, they find themselves in the upper room. He wanted just to spend the few moments, just about probably 24 hours plus. He just wanted to reside with his disciples, men that he had with for 3 years ministering, because he's just about to hand over the baton to them. And so as they meet up in the upper room, he tells them the story of what is just about to happen. The Bible says in the book of Luke 22, I believe verses number 14 there, I can't remember where, but it's somewhere on Luke 22. It says that I so desire and to desire to stay with you and to have a meal with you. And he says, I desire also to break bread and to perform the table of the Lord, like what we just did here with you. The significance of just about of what is just about to happen. I'm just about to show you what is just about to happen. I'm gonna be killed. and I'm going to shed my blood, and that is going to be the beginning of a new era. It is going to be the establishment of a new covenant. My body is going to be crushed. Some of you are going to desert me. This is going to be painful. I don't know what you think about. Think about this, church. Just a few hours before Jesus died, he was under increased pressure from what was just about happening. Jesus was taken even before the rulers of the temple, and they were accusing him of his messianic connections, and they wanted to sentence him to death. He just went before them, and he knew exactly what was just about to happen, that he would endure the cross. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me that Jesus Christ, maybe at this time, if it were me, maybe I would not even want to pick up any phone call. I would want to just stay aside and just meditate on what was just about to happen. Now, to even worsen the situation, God was just about to make him seen something that he had never experienced. He was just about to experience a trade-off so that he would become seen and so that the entire humanity would become free. And so these things were running into his mind. Are you listening to me? Now, if it were you, just think for a moment how or what would be going through your mind. And he gathers his disciples together and he wants to leave them with one concept about humility and servanthood. And so he's sharing with them and he's telling them all these stories about what is just about to happen. And finally, he says, but there is one among you that is going to betray me. There's one among you that is going to betray me. And the Bible says that the disciples started asking from each other, who is it? Who is it? Indicative of their lack of faith or their little faith. They didn't even know who was about to betray Jesus. Now think about this. Remember what I told you, that if God wants to use you, you don't even have to fight and push and cajole people. God can put a spotlight on you. Jesus was with Judas Iscariot for how many years? Elsewhere in the Bible says that Judas was what? He used sometimes to take some money from the coffers, from the Kodokamod. You remember what I'm talking? You know, he used to take some money from the finances. And Jesus Christ is with Judas for 3 years. Do you want to tell me that Jesus for the entire 3 years didn't know that Judas would betray him? So in spite of who you are, if God wants to shine a spotlight on you, he will use you. In spite of your rebelliousness, think about Jonah. What happened to Jonah? Jonah said, God said, I want to send you to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I cannot go there. And he said, you know what, I'm going to Tarshish. What happened? When the spotlight of God is upon you, you don't even have to worry. All you got to do is wait patiently. And when he is ranging his eyes throughout the face of the earth, let me tell you, the reason why sometimes we, and I put the word we fight through positions is because we think that we have gifts and talents. Hello? Talents that are ready to usher us into a certain place or another elevated area of ministry. But God is looking within you because it is the core that is inside of you. It is what you are made of that is going to sustain you into an elevated position of ministry. Oh, somebody missed that. You may have the talents and the gifts, you know. You might be, you know, a person who comes when you talk, everybody is attentive, and you are talking, you have a gift of speech. Or you have a gift of doing whatever you do. But God might be doing some work. There might be some construction going on within you. Because the construction that is going on within you will be necessary to help you in the new elevated position. Now the problem is, if you take you up there and you assume that God has delayed too much, and you shoot yourself up there just because you feel it is time for you to do it, you might need your power to sustain yourself up there. But when God shines his light on you, You know that when he shoots you up, glory to God, he is able to keep you and sustain you up there. Regardless of the pressure, regardless of the things that you're going through, regardless of the challenges, regardless of the opposition, God will be able to sustain you. And this is the lesson that he wanted to teach the disciples. Are you listening to me? And so, he says, there's someone among you who will betray me. And that they started talking to each other, okay, who is going to betray the Lord, our Savior, in this end hour? And I don't know what went through their mind, because after Jesus saw that they were struggling too much, he said, and the man is Judas. And he told him, you are the one who is going to betray me. Get out and do it as quickly as possible. And immediately when he was kicked out, you know what the next debate that was taking place? They started asking Jesus, or among us themselves, now who is going to be great among us in the kingdom of God? Can you think? I mean, think about this. It is the few out. Jesus has been with these guys for 3 years, okay? And now he has secluded, he has pushed away the public, and they're in a secluded area where nobody would come, pushing against Jesus, needing a miracle. He wants to spend time so that he can communicate the most essential ingredient that they need for the prosperity of the church. He is just about to hand over the baton to a bunch of people who he was with for 3 years. And at this time they're asking, okay, now who is going to be great into the kingdom, in the kingdom of God? Does it sound like 2013? Whereby we push and pull. Oh, I need to be close to the bishop. I need to be close to the apostle. I need to have men of God surrounding me. We are cajoling and pushing for positions. And Jesus, looking at them, he said, oh God, I can't even believe this. For 3 years I've walked with these 12 men. I even walked with a robber. I've walked with a man who would betray me. And still they haven't had the concept. And Jesus guarded himself with a towel. Now, this is recorded in the book of John 13. Guarded on his waist with a towel. And he is going to begin to show them and to teach them about humility and what it means about serving each other. Somebody say amen. And as he wakes up, everybody is silent, and he begins, I believe, maybe with John. And he tells them, you know what, I'm ready to wash their feet. Now, when we're talking about the feet, now, I know the picture that you have. You're picturing your feet. But your feet are so clean because you've never put on, some of you have never even put on sandals in America. You've never even stepped on the ground on America. I remember actually during those days when I went to school and I would see men, somebody who has never put on their shoe. Have you ever seen somebody who actually this heel is so, because of stepping on the floor so many times, it is like, it is a big, what do you call it? It is so elongated, and it has cracks, actually. Cracks that are alive, but they are not bleeding. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you laugh because even if you can remove your shoes, we can see some cracks within. Actually, I had a crack too because I never used to have shoes. But some of those cracks were like anti-slippery. You know, God just developed them to be anti-slippery. You know where I work? I work on trailers that are on places where, you know, there's water every time, you know. Sometimes it's watery on the floor. And so I buy some special shoes so that I cannot slip, you know. When you're walking, you cannot slide so that you can fall. Now, in those days, God created some natural anti-slippery on the feet. A guy is going like this, and, you know, you can see even marks, you know, of like you'd think a shoe just passed by there. Now, in those days, the dirtiest parts of a body was on the feet. You know, so dirty because they never used to have shoes, and they had to walk through dust. They had to walk through the mountainous regions as they went to minister the gospel. And Jesus comes, and he tells them, and he picks up a basin, and he's washing their feet. God. Now, that kind of a job was done by slaves. And not only a slave, but a very low level slave used to come and wash the feet of, especially, you know, the disciples, they used to wash them. But Jesus Christ, in his lordship, the Messiah, he picked up the basin of water and a towel, And he begins to wash the feet of this dirty feet. He is dealing with the walks. He's dealing with soil. And he is dealing with the dirty feet that have never been washed, you know, even not been washed. And he's doing that to every one of the disciples. And he goes to Peter. He says, no. Lord, you can't wash my feet. And the Lord says, you may not really understand what I'm doing right now, but you will understand it later. And he says, if you do not allow me to wash your feet, then you do not have a part in my kingdom. It is all recorded on a, I don't want us to read because, you know, the text is on a, what did I tell you? The text is there. Luke 12. You can read it. You can read it, all of it. And so he says, if you do not allow me to wash your feet, then you don't have a part in my kingdom. And Peter says, no. You know, Peter, no, okay. Jesus, wash my hands, wash my body, wash everywhere. Because I really want to make the kingdom. Now, Peter was worried about a way whereby he thinks, you know, the way where the Bible records that, you know, the way you treat each other is not like the Gentile kings who lord over the people. And the people that are being lorded over are the people who are being humiliated, and the kings are the benefactor. In other words, it says the kings like to rule over the people with an intention to benefit themselves. And he says this is not how the children of God ought to conduct their service to each other. Praise be to God. That they are supposed to serve each other, not to receive any benefit, but to be a benefit to each other. In other words, the talents and the gifts that you have received are not for your own, but they are meant to be a benefit to another person. Glory be to Jesus. If God has given you a talent to be a teacher, if God has given you a talent to be an evangelist, it is not for your own sake. It is for the benefit of the whole church. And Jesus starts to wash the feet of the apostles. And as he washes them, he says, anyone who understands what I've done, if you do this, you will be blessed. Praise be God. In the church of old, and the church where I knew my mother to belong, I saw people serving each other. I saw men and women honoring each other. I saw them gather together and pray and believe God for certain things, and I saw miracles happen. That was the church of Jesus Christ. But guess what? This also is the church of Jesus Christ. And what they did is also possible in our church today, whereby we can serve each other without thinking of what you can benefit out of that transaction. You've heard that your sister is sick, is in the hospital. You can sacrifice your time and just go be with them. You may not even need to buy anything from any store. All they need is your presence there at the hospital bed. Somebody might be going without food, and you know that you have two bales of flour. You can pick one and have one left for yourself. And you can just go and tell them, my brother, I may not have much, but this one let us share with you. Serving each other. Are you listening to me, church? Let me tell you, church. It is not in who we are. The disciples thought that, you know, just because they were disciples, they were foreseeing a place, an elevated place. If you've ever been to a meeting and you know there are seats that are reserved for very important people, it is a reserved VIPs. I don't know whether they're the right VIPs, but it's normally reserved quite normally on the front, you know? And you cannot sit on those seats. Actually, there's a barricade. It is reserved for some dignitaries. That's how the disciples were seeing themselves. Now we have been with you for 3 years. Who is going to be greater? Is it me? Is it Paul? Is it, come on, Jesus, before you go? Is that something that they needed to worry about, really? Well, what was at risk was greater. Jesus is just about to hand over the baton to them to be the carriers. And he says, greater things shall you do if only you believe in me. And what they are worried at this critical hour is to worry who is going to be greater in the kingdom. Hello, church. May God really help us. What is my position? Where? What am I? What is there for me? What am I going to do? What benefit am I getting here? What is my position? But Jesus Christ told them, what I've done to you, if only you know, if you can understand it, you'll be so blessed. Let me tell you, church, to serve the Lord is a privilege. To serve the Lord is an honor. And you know what? Who am I as a Pastor Tony? You know, who am I to this ministry, for example, that I can come and I can stand in the way of God? You think God really can't come and do certain things in this church in spite of me? Don't you think so? Do you know if God decided to do anything in this church, he can do it? In spite of me? Or in spite of you? He can do it. Superior, right? He can do it. But you know what? Many times we complain and cajole and we point a finger at each other. But if you know your specific task that the Lord has given you, that you know for sure in your knower that God has called me to be this and that, and you take it and carry it, and you adjudicate it perfectly, and every single one of us does it, the sky is the limit. Man, I was so blessed yesterday being in the pastor's conference. And I understand when I went up there, I had an announcement that 90% of the people who are participating in that conference were volunteers. Volunteers, not paid anything. Now, the conference started from Thursday and it was ending on Saturday. That means they took time off. They were not getting paid. You would have seen how the ushers welcome people in the church. They were clapping for us. In fact, you would feel like you're a dignitary, a president getting into the church. They were, oh, welcome into the house of God. You know, with such an enthusiasm. And I said, my God, no wonder these people would be blessed. Because they are taking whatever responsibility God has given them. They are carrying their responsibility like they are serving God. Are you listening to me? I know I'm stepping on our toes and I'm stepping on mine too. But let me tell you, the beginning of a breakthrough into our lives is when you as a person decide and you say, you know what, from this point, God, I'm honoring you. Oh my God. That is the greatest statement that can ever come from a person. And you say, God, I decide to honor you. I'm honoring you with my time. I'm honoring you with my finances. I'm honoring you with my service. I'm honoring you with my whatever you put under my care. I'm honoring you with my humility. I'm honoring you with my time when I study the word of the Lord. I'm honoring you, Lord, because I know what you've done for me. Hallelujah. When that is the cry of every single one of us, then that will be the beginning of great things. And miracles will begin to sprout in our lives. Because there will be a miracle there and you'll come and give us a testimony. There will be another miracle over there of the goodness of the Lord. Somebody will come and testify of what the Lord has done. And corporately, we shall enjoy the blessedness of the Lord. You remember when they were going to fight the city of Ai? How many of you can remember what happened to the city of Ai? The city of Ai was a small city, right? And the children of Israel, prior to that, they were going through from city to city, receiving victory after victory. Why? Because God was with them. But they come to this little city, and there was one among them who had sinned against the Lord. And just because of that one particular person, his name I think was Achan. Right, you remember Achan? They were completely defeated. And so people would come and say, oh, what happened here, Joshua? What happened here? Why were we defeated? Well, people would start to murmur and to complain. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. When, as a body, we fail in our responsibilities, guess what? We shall be moving forward, but not at the pace that the Lord would want us to move. We'll be moving forward, but not at the pace that we ought to, just because some of us have neglected their position of service. Praise the Lord. I would pray that you would hear from your heart what the Lord is saying. The greatest thing that the Lord would ever do with his disciples. Let me tell you, we can go to meetings and we can go like into that meeting that I went to. It was a very powerful meeting. And I stuff was downloaded in my spirit and I feel I'm ready to go. I can read all the books and I can read all the material and I can spend all the time. But until we make an intentional decision to serve the Lord, things will always stagnate. Are you listening to me? Church, are you listening to me? And I'm speaking this not to us or to you, but also to myself. Because no matter how I download, no matter what I access to, no matter what fellowship I have with a great man of God somewhere, and I can call them anytime, they can pour oil over my face, they can even pray for me, and I've not even decided myself to serve the Lord, it ain't gonna happen. So it has to be intentional that all of us would take seriously the responsibility that the Lord has given us. And God is gonna take us places. Not only as a corporate body, but God is going to take us into places in our personal lives. Man, I wish, I'm not really blowing my trumpets, and you know my heart. But I'm telling you guys, I've had some flaws in my life. I've had some challenges in my life. But in the beginning of this year, there's something I told the Lord. I told him, God, I want to honor you. And I've told you many, many, many times. I'm not saying this to just seem like I'm more spiritual than any one of you. And even as I did that, I failed in some of the responsibilities that I know I'm supposed to have done. Either because of maybe not taking some things seriously. But in most part, I've told God that I want to honor you. Let me tell you guys, and God has continued to surprise me. Surprise me with the little things. May not really be major, but I can see the involvement of the Lord. Something that I was not seeing before I made this declaration. So think about if we can all decide to honor the Lord with our lives, what would happen? I walked into somebody, a servant of God, just the other day. You see this suit that I'm putting on? It is like they knew my measurement. They asked me, oh, Pastor, you know what? We've had this suit. And we've been thinking of blessing. I never even told them. They asked, what do you wear? And I told them, you know, what I put on. And they removed the suit and gave it to me. Don't I look sharp? Free of charge. I think this is a $500 suit. Somebody blesses me. In my life, only two people have blessed me with a suit. I've blessed so many people with a suit, with suits. But somebody out of the blues just came and blessed me. And my little things that I may not even tell you, little things, little favors here and there, that I've experienced, oh God, from the Lord. How much if I can give myself 100%, if I can give my 100 to the Lord, my God, 100%, and humble myself so that when I come, I will say, not myself, Lord, but you. It is not about me as Pastor Tony. It is not about me as whoever, as a husband. It is about God. In whatever I engage myself, I will be saying this, that I will be giving 100%, and I'll be saying, it is not about me, Lord, but it is about you. When I serve and when I sacrifice, I'll be saying, it is not about me, but it is about you, oh God. When I make a step towards humility, I'll say, it's not about me, Lord, but it's about you, Lord Jesus. That is where I want to tend to. I'm not there yet, but that's where I'm tending to. So that when I look at my sister with all her weaknesses and her flaws, I'll accept her as my sister. When I look at my brother with all her weaknesses and negativity, I will come and cover them because they are my sister. I will not take a knife and backbite them while smiling at them. Do you know that is happening in the church today? Somebody is smiling to you and they are holding a knife behind your back. And they are stabbing you and you're bleeding. And before you know it, you're just about to die just because they are backstabbing you. Now, I know this is a very, I don't want you to think that I'm stepping on us, church. But I need to be genuine. I need to be authentic. I want you to feel me as authentic. Are you feeling me? I went when I talked to Pastor Francis. I want to feel your authenticity. And I want you to feel the same. You know? That when I say, brother, I will pray for you and I care for you. You know that is really genuine and you can take it to the bank. That in spite of my weaknesses, you are going to look at me and you say, Pastor, I understand. We are clothed into a human body and I understand and I'm going to stick with you because you are my brother. God understands. That's why he clothed himself in a flesh that is, has an affinity to sin. And that's why he is seated on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for you and me, because he understands what we go through. There's nobody who is perfect. If you want to find somebody who is perfect, you better board a plane and go to Mars. Maybe there are people up there who are perfect. But as long as we are going to be on earth, we are going to have some weaknesses. And some of us are going to sometimes say things that they didn't want to say, just because they were human beings, and you have to be ready to forgive them. And you have to sing this song. You are my brother again. Huh? What is that song we used to sing? Huh? We are together again, just praising the Lord. We are together again. Because we are brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, if we have to survive, we have to overlook the weaknesses of one another. I'm not perfect. Don't blame me because you saw I did something that was wrong, really. Because even you tomorrow, I'm going to find yourself in a certain thing. How do you want me to expect me to treat you? So to be good to me because tomorrow you expect mercy from me. I love you, bro. Shall we stand on our feet, please? Stand on our feet. Well, I just want to say this. That I love every single one of you, genuinely. And God knows how what time I spend, even in my privacy, I don't even have to tell you. I spend time to pray for you, that God may give you breakthrough, that the Lord may give you success in the things that you do. But the greatest honor that you can give to any authority is to honor God. Honor Him. Put Him first before you or every other thing. To serve God, you will have to sacrifice a little bit sometimes. We'll have to be called, you know, when it is not really right for you to come to a Bible study meeting, maybe a prayer meeting. You'll have to sacrifice. And those are the things, you know, when we come before the Lord, you know, everybody will have to speak before the Lord and speak out of the things that they did here on earth. What are you going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to tell God that I did? The responsibility that He gave me. And somebody said in the conference that there will be two hells. The number one hell, and I'm concluding now, the number one hell will be for those people who rejected Jesus, and they will be sent to hell. But he said the other hell will be for the Lord to open a panorama of things that you are supposed to do, or things you're supposed to ask Him for, and they were there, but they were never ordered by you. That would be another hell. Oh, I wish I asked for that. I wish I did this for this brother. You know, the Lord will probably show you somebody who is in hell that you're supposed to communicate with and tell them about Jesus. But you'll be on the other side with God. That will be another hell. So, let the Lord help us. We are all the same. I'm not better than you. If I'm expected to come here to church early and just before 11, I would also expect you to be here before 11 so that we can come and serve the Lord and just lift up the name of the Lord. Whatever you expect of me or whatever I expect of you, you also expect of me. And we are going to serve the Lord together. Grab the hand of the person standing next to you as we pray together right now. In the name of Jesus. My Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for each and every one of us. We humble ourselves before you, not because we are so special or we are of any significance. We know you are the one who has caused us to be of significant. The gifts and the talents that we have, Lord, they're God-given. We didn't give them to ourselves. And I pray that we shall humble ourselves, O Lord, before the Almighty Father. And to allow you, God, to continue to work in our hearts, O God. And to regard each other as better than ourselves. And to know that God has obligated us to serve each other with authenticity. Father God, if we can just worry about serving you, all these other things will be added to us. Father God, you have put power and authority over our lives to combat the forces of the devil. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I take that power and authority in the name of Jesus that has deluded and come against the spirit of the devil that has deluded and deceived the people of God for too long a time. I release them in the name of Jesus. I release them into a freedom, into a freedom whereby they will be able to know that God has called them to serve you. Oh God, how I pray that we shall serve one another just as you commanded us, Lord, when you washed the feet of the disciples. If you, as the Lord and Messiah, had to wash their feet, how much more we ought to serve one another, to hold each other with esteem and to protect each other because we are sons of the kingdom. We are members of the body. We are supposed to be to take care of each other, because when one member of the body is suffering, the body will become dysfunctional. But as a body, we want to esteem each other, to call each other and to pray for each other and to worry for each other and to love each other genuinely in the name of Jesus. And therefore, the law of Christ will be fulfilled. I speak a blessing over every family in this church. Everyone who is connected to this church, oh God, I speak a blessing to them. Lord, I pray that you shall open up an avenue, a street, whatever needs to be opened, a door that has been locked for a long time, open it on their behalf. Financial miracles, dear Jesus. Oh God, restoration of relationships in the name of Jesus. Whatever anybody needs, oh God, stretch forth your hand, oh God, and meet with them at the point of their need in the name of Jesus, because they are sons and daughters of the kingdom. Honor the cries of their hearts, Lord, that is made in the middle of the night. Father God, may you honor them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and I bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen. 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 Can we give Jesus a hand of praise? Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor, for the word. Have you received it? Amen. Let's receive the word of God as it came forth, and let's do it. Amen.